top of Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph by the two dots. So continuing from the Mishnah, if you remember in the Mishnah, it says, Ketuvu Tznu Get Lishti Lobat Mikan Rad Yud Bet Chodesh. So if you put the instructions before the Tznai, there there's a machlok between the Tanakhama who says, the Chachamim will still say that's a invalid get because they wrote it prior to the 12 months. And Rabbi Yossi says, if the instructions precede the Tznai, then they can write it within the 12 months. They just have to give it after the 12 months. So let's say based on Yossi's position here, that kotav get al tnai kasher. Person writes a get al tnai is kasher. I mean that even if you do not fulfill the required tnai or condition, it still will be kasher. Because over here we see that they're not fulfilling the condition, and yet it's kasher. So one says, look, olay malacha pasul. Then generally, if you don't fulfill the condition, it's not a good get. Shiny hocho, but here it's different. Midahavalei meimar, because he should have said in Mobati the condition first, then kitzvu tznu, and then the verb or the action. Ve'amar, and instead he changed the verbiage and he put kitzvu tznu. He put the action first, imlobati. So then the imlobati is modifying only the tznu parts and not the kitzvu parts. So hocho kamar kitzvu me'achshav, write it right away, utznu, and then modifying the tznu and the giving. Is imlobati if I don't come. Rabbanan loshnahafi loshnahafi. It doesn't make a difference. It doesn't matter where you put the tznai. The tznai goes in the entire statement. It modifies the entire statement of both kitvu and tznu, whether you put the condition first or you can put the condition afterwards. Right, now, Tara Rabbanan, this is an interesting case. He says, give the get after the Shemitah. So it's a good in Yonah Dioma. So you have to wait Shana. You have to wait an entire year because the entire 8th year is considered Motzei Shemitah. It's considered after the Shemitah. Lachar Shana, he says, give it after a year. Then we wait a Chodesh. We wait a month into or after the year that he's talking about. Lachar Chodesh, he says, give it after a month. After the month is up, then Shabbat. He's talking about a week, or at least a week after the month is up. After Shabbat, after Shabbos, what's the din? You're talking about Sunday, Monday or Tuesday, both are Shabbat. They go after the previous Shabbos. Arvo, v'chamsha, umale Shabbat. That's Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Kame Shabbat, they really belong to the next Shabbos. Right, so that is a... Right, that's a big nafkamina halacha, is it addresses things like Abdullah. What is able to make Abdullah on Motzei Shabbos? And so when is it still considered the previous Shabbos in order that you can still make Abdullah? Right, and that's the same halacha as here, that Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday are still considered to be part of the previous week, whereas Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday already are considered to be connected to the upcoming Shabbos rather than the Shabbos that has passed. And that's why we add in the Yom Yom Revi, right? We add an additional pasuk at the end of the Yom of the Lekun Aran and all, right? That's already leading us in. We're already connecting to the upcoming Shabbos, the upcoming Kabbalah Shabbos, and as opposed to Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, which are connected to the previous Shabbos.
When you take letters, you know, it's like, it sounds sort of departures, this, but it also looks like
I don't think, I don't know if people get it that way, because already by Mincha time on Shabbos, you're already laying the new Parsha. So I think that already after Motzei Shabbos, people already claim that it's the week, the following week. Tanya, Rebbe Omer, Achar Regel, Shloshim Yom. If you say after the Regel, it means 30 days after the Regel. Nafak Reb Chia, Reb Chia went out, Darshan Mishmet Rabbi. He went and he darshaned it in the name of Rabbi, Rikal Suha, and they praised him. Mishmet Rabbim, then he went and said this halach over in the name of the Chachamim, Velokal Suha, and they did not praise him. Why is that? Amalei Sechos HaKavaseh. Because Allah is not like Rabbi, and therefore when he claimed, or when he went out and darshaned it, Mishmet Rabbim, that means that people are going to assume that the halacha was like that, Nemra, and they didn't want that. When he did it, Bidasi, okay, that's fine, because they won't pass the halacha that way. If you do it Mishmei Terabim, then they will pass the Malacha. I'll point out, earlier in the Gemara, we had on Daf Chet, the Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, with regards to what does it mean that the Kalsua, that they praised him. So over there, Rashi says they praised him. It's the opposite case, that he darshan in the name of the Rabbi, well, Kalsua and darshan Mishmei Terabim, and they were Kalsua. So Rashi says that the Torah, Kol the Torah, since he made an effort to say it over in the name of the Rabbi, in order that the Malacha will be Kaveh like it, we make the Malacha like it. That's how Rashi explained it. Tosfos says no. It has to do with whether you say it over in the name of an individual, or you say it in the name of the rabbi. If you say it in an individual, the halacha is not like you. Say it in the name of rabbi, and the halacha is like you. And Tosfos is proof is our Gemara right here? Because Rashi can't explain this way. Over here it's clear that the Gemara means that Rabbim and not Rabbim or an individual is the halakha is like the Rabbim and the halakha is not like the individual. According to Rashi's explanation that he went out of his way to say it over the name of the Rabbim, the halakha should be like him. Over here, the halakha is not like him. So how could you make that explanation? That's Tosfos' claim against Rashi on Dabcha. Alright, the new Mishnah. Azorik, compared to Azorik get liishto, someone who throws a get to his wife, v'hi b'toch beitah, and she's in her house, o b'toch chatzera, or she's in her courtyard. Harizum gureshet, there she's divorced in that instance. We'll see in the Gemara that the requirement to give it to the woman is not simply to the woman herself, but actually any her property, anything that's within her purview, as long as it's mishta merit. Zarkula b'toch beito, if he threw it to her in his own house, o b'toch chatzera, in his own courtyard. Afilu hima bibita, even if they're together in bed, ina migureshet, there she's not divorced, again, because it's his property. So meaning that if he gave it to her directly, that works. But if he just throws it and it lands in his property, then she has not acquired the get. And then if she picks it up afterwards, you have the lacking in binapab biyada, that he hands it over to her. There's a lack of conveyance from him. So l'tokheka, or l'tokhekauta, into her lap, or into her, Rashi calls it kauta, is a basket that the women used to put their stuff into. Harizumi Gureshit, then she is divorced. So Mar says, Minahani Bile. Where do we know this from? So the Tanur Abonon Binatan Biyada. The Pasuk says, by a divorce, one must give over the get Biyada in her hand. So I would think literally, you must give it into her hand, literally into her possession, her physical possession. So now, other areas where it's not her, but her property, like the roof of her house, or her courtyard, her right to her backyard, how do you know that works? Says Benatan, that means anyway. Then what do you do with the Yadah? So the Yadah defines for us, so the Yadah comes to tell us what is considered Benatan as giving. Right? So you have to compare it to Yadah. So we'll see that later on. What does it mean, Yadah, or what is the comparison of Yadah? Betanya, we have a brace, Betanya Nami Alchi Gabi Ganav, by a Ganav, that a person who is going to be considered a Ganav to be Chayiv to pay Kefel, right, then he has to take the object into his possession. So what does it say? It's Yadah. I don't know if we find the object in his possession, or he takes possession of it through a meshich or ba, that is chayiv kefil. Kago, chatzero, v'karpifo, minayim. How do we know that if he takes it into his possession, not his physical possession, but into the possession of his property, that that is sufficient to be chayiv kefil? Right? So how do we know that? Tamalomar, timatzei, that if it's found in his possession, mikol makom, that no matter what, if it's in his possession, then that is considered to be right, the Geneva. So for instance, if he brings it in his possession, he locks the door. Right? He brings it into his courtyard, and then he locks the courtyard with the animal inside. Right? That is considered stealing, even though he didn't be a goat. He didn't do it with his own hand. He didn't lift up the behemoth. He didn't moshech the behemoth. That's considered stealing because his property, right, is acquiring the animal. But Rico, I need both sides. I need you to tell me this by Ganav, and I need you to tell me by Get. Why is that? Because by a Get, since you can divorce a woman against her will, maybe there is more room to assume that the Get can be given not only to her physical self, to her Yada, but even to her property. Because there's a more expansive, since they can be given against her will, there's a more expansive view of where what can be given, where the Get can be given to her, what she can accept the Get with. You can't force someone to steal an animal, right? You can't force them to take a hot item. That you can't do. Aim alone. I would say that he can only acquire it, right? Willingly. That he can only acquire, since he can only acquire it willingly, he can also only acquire it if he physically takes possession of it. Maybe by Ganav, I say the reason that not only does he acquire it, but his property can acquire it is because it's a knas. Right, it's a fine that is trying to dissuade him from stealing. So no matter what, if he takes it into his possession, we want to have the fine be imposed. We would say, no, that's not a fine. Right, this is just a defined or methodology for conveying a get. So there would only be the simple way. You give it to her hand and no other way. Therefore, we need both sides. We need both sides or both of these limudim to teach us, one by ganav, one by get, to teach us not only is the yado or yada, the physical body, a vehicle for acceptance, but your property also is a vehicle for your acceptance. So now, chatzera. The Gemara questions why in our Mishnah says that if he throws it into her chatzer, that it works. But you have a basic or fundamental problem, which is what? Mashkanta isha kanta bala. Whatever a woman acquires, right, or takes possession of, belongs to the husband. So, first of all, right, how does she have personal property? I mean, how does she have personal property distinct from her husband? And number two is, right, even if she has personal property, we're going to see in a second, how does she actually get acquisition of the get? And we're going to see that in a minute. Because even if she has personal property, additional property that comes into the marriage or additional items also will belong to the Baal, right, not to her. Right, so we have a number of answers. The first one is from Rav Elazar. Amar Rav Elazar, when the husband writes to her, dinu dvarim en li b'nichsech, right, that I have nothing to do with your property. Now the Gemara says, "V'chi katav lahachi my habi." When he writes this, why does that help? V'atanya. So we've seen this brisa that we saw back in Ksubos. We've seen other places. Omer lechaveiro din udvarim ainli alsa dezu. He says, "I have nothing to do with this field. Mainly isik ba. Right? I have no business with it. Did I just look at it, or my hands are removed from it? Lo amar plum." Then he did nothing. Why is that? Because those are not lishonos of hefker, and they're not lishonos of conveying property. But if you already own property, you have ownership over property, if you say, you know, I don't want anything to do with this property, that's not considered hefker, and that's not considered a matana, it's not a gift. Right? So there are only two ways to get rid of property. If you already own and have full ownership of the property, you have to gift it, you have to give it to someone else, or you have to be mafkir it, you have to be make it into hefker. So there, I'm sorry, Marcel's correct. Over here, he's making lashonos. We say that I really don't want it to come into my possession. But how can you say that if it's already in your possession? So this only works prior to the property reaching your possession. That's what we've seen that. That's what we saw earlier on in or other Gemaras, that this can be a lashon that prior, that's in the Gemara in Subos, that prior to the property coming into the possession, you can deflect and say, I don't want it to come into my possession. But once it can
prevent that possession,
it can't. It can, right? Very good. Excellent, right? So that's Amrei Tibei Rabbi Yanai. Bakoti Blava Oda Arusa. No, he says Dinit Varim, right, when she is still in Arusa. So now that helps. That's exactly as Shaul, right, so eloquently said, right, that you can't convey ownership, but you can, right, you can't convey or relinquish ownership through these lashon, but you can prevent ownership from taking effect, and that's what he's doing here. She's in Arusa, and before they become a suan, he's going to take possession of the property. He, right, deflects the ownership from coming into his possession. Ukat Rav Kahana, that's like Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana, Nakla, Babal Adami, Makoma Kher, a property that comes into one's possession from somewhere else. Ogbe Matna Lash Lo Yereshen, a person can make a condition that he will not inherit it. Meaning that a person, when a possession or when a property would otherwise, he's a Yovish. He is, right, having a Yerusha coming into his possession. Before it comes into his possession, he can deflect that from coming into his possession. He can say, I don't want it. Now Rashi says, it's interesting, Rashi over here says that we're talking about Yerusha that is not in the Torah. We're only talking about Yerusha mit Rabbanan. I think what drove Rashi is the next line in the Gemara. We'll see in a second the next line in the Gemara. That was what drove Rashi. Question is, why doesn't it work though? Right? So simply though, right? So why can't you deflect ownership from coming into your possession even in a Torah? All right? I just leave it as a question, but you'll see the next line of the Gemara, that's why probably what drove Rashi to say it was only the Rabbanan, is because they say it's an Uka de Rabba. It's based on the principle of Rabba. The Amar Rabba, Rabba says, Ka'omer E'efshi b'takanat chachamim, someone who says that I don't want the Tachanat chachamim to help me, to go to, like this case, we'll see in a second what this case is, Shomim lo, we listen to him. Mike Gonzu, what does it mean, like this case? A woman can say the Bala, any Zonit, I don't want you to feed me, but any Osa, and I won't do, my Masiyadayim will not be for you. So the Takanas Chachamim was that a woman would get fed by her husband in exchange for her Masiyadayim. So was that for her benefit? Yes, the Chachamim instituted it for her benefit. So she has the ability to say, listen, I don't want this Takana because it's for my benefit. I prefer not to have it be in effect. So the same thing over here. When you talk about Yerusha Derabbanan, I think this again with Joel Rashi, when you're talking about Yerusha Derabbanan, that's why the Chachamim created Yerusha Derabbanan. That was to my benefit. So if I don't inherit this property, it'll come into my possession. So again, I can say, listen, I really don't want the Takana Chachamim to take effect here. It was for my benefit. And really, my benefit is that it doesn't work out. Here it won't go through. So the same thing again with the Arusa and the Nisua, where the husband's going to take possession of her property, right? That if he does it when she's still an Arusa, you can reject the ability or the property from coming into his possession. If he does that, she will have private ownership in their marriage because he said, don't let the property come into my possession. If the property doesn't come into my possession, she still has a chatzera. If she has a chatzera, then she can have her guests go into her chatzera and have private ownership. Now, what's this? Rabba Amar, right? So Rabba says, wait a minute, you think the only issue here is Hatzera, what about Yada? What about her land itself? You're saying, okay, let's take care of the problem. The Mishnah said that if it goes into her Hatzer, it's good get. What happens if I hand it directly to her? If you hand the get directly to her, it's Yada. But we know, Homaisha Kantaba, right? Isha Kantababa. So even if she takes possession, physically takes possession, then why does that work? Because she's acquiring something that automatically goes to the Ba. She can't create private ownership. And that's Rabba's question here. Omar, after Yodha, Milo, can you lay the bow? Isn't her hand already dictate the bow? Ella, so Rabba says, Gito, Yodha, Baim, Kechat. So that Gita and Yodha come simultaneously. Hokanami, also in our case over here, Gita, Vechatzera, Baim, Kechat. That her get and her chatzer come simultaneously. So just like by chatzer, what's the solution? When you throw her into the chatzer, not that she has private ownership over the chatzer, but the solution is, right? Or the solution by Yada is when you hand the get to the woman, she takes possession of the get because the get goes effective simultaneously with her becoming a free person, and therefore she is able to acquire it without her husband having any rights there. So too by chatzera. When you throw the get into the chatzer, it goes into the chatzer simultaneous with the get landing in the chatzer, and her being divorced is that she now has ownership over the chatzer. So this is the idea that there is a simultaneous acquisition of both the get and either the yada or the get and her property, and that's how it makes it effective over here. So the chatzer, again, we keep the chatzer blank get, but when the tnai is effective. How many Rabbeinu and the Ravashi? Rabba Yad Isha Kakashale? He has a problem with the Yad the Isha. He the Kanile the Masi Adeha. Yad the Gufa, he can Kanile. Wait a minute. Rabba made a funny statement here. He said that the Yad of the Isha belongs to the husband. That is just not true. A husband does not own his wife. Right? A husband has the rights to the output of his wife, her Masi Adeha. He doesn't own her hand. So what type of proof could you bring from an Isha, Yad Isha? The reason that a woman can accept a get in her hand is because her hand does belong to her. Her yada is her own possession, and when the get goes into her hand, she's now taking acquisition of the get. And that's why it works. And from that, you can't prove anything to chatzera, because chatzera is totally different. Chatzera, she really doesn't know. What does the husband own when you talk about yada? You talk about her output. He owns her masa yada. He does not own her yada. So what Rabba's comparison is not a good comparison between yada and chatzera. Yada, she does own. Chatzera, she does not own, right? Yeah, but that's, again, something that is produced, production of her hand. Her yitzio is something now that she's taking possession. It's like, it's equivalent of a maisa yada. Right? She's doing the action with her hands. So he owns all output, all action that's driven by the hand, but not the hand itself. He doesn't own. It's a different stream.
Because a woman can take possession of a yitzio, she takes possession of the get. That's
right, but the difference is that if she takes possession of the mitzio, then the mitzio reverts to her husband. If she takes possession of the get, right, then there's no longer this, then you stop the process of everything reverting to her husband. Those automatically divorces her. But it's mitzio, that's a takanas chachamim, that anything she acquires, the mitzio that she finds, goes to her husband in exchange for something else. So she does acquire the mitzio, because nobody else can take it. If someone else, it's not like she didn't acquire it. She acquired it, but she acquired it based on the takanas chachamim that will revert or be on behalf of her husband. Right, but again, the hand is still her own property. And that makes a big difference here, because Chatzera is not her property, so how can one make such a comparison? So, Amalei Rova, yeah, the Eved Kekashalei. Right, no, that he used it, or he did, right, based on a Yadam in Eved. Why? The mother of a Shtari the Atzmo, one who says that an Eved can be free through a Shtar that's given to him himself, Yad Eved, Yad Rabogami. That the hand of an Eved belongs to his master. Now, over here, it's different. When we're talking about an Eved Kinani, does the owner own the Eved? Yes. Right, as opposed to an Eved Idri, opposed to a woman, the husband does not, or the owner does not have any possession in the physical right, person. But when it comes to Eved Kinani, he does own the physical person of the Eved. So that will be a much better comparison. So if you can say what? That an Eved can be freed right, by giving him a get shechur, how does that work? Ela, kito biyodo bain kefa. There, it happens simultaneously. So if it works by an Eved to free an Eved, then also an Afka kito chatzera bain kefa. Then you have a valid comparison between chatzera and in Eved. So that's the difference. The difference between an Eved Kinani and the woman is the ownership of the physical body. And then Rava can create the comparison between Chatzera and Eved Kinani is because of that idea that they share that common idea that the Baal or the owner owns this property and not the woman or the slave. How Shemira? There was a guy who was on his deathbed, and he wrote a get to his wife. He did it on Erev Shabbos, in the afternoon of Erev Shabbos, before Shabbos, he wrote the get, and then he said, so he didn't have enough time, he didn't have enough time, they wrote the get, Shabbos came, and he didn't have enough time to give the get to his wife. The next day, he felt like the world was coming to an end, meaning that he was done, right? And now he wants to get the get to his wife. So after the Kamei Rava, they came before the Rava and said, what should we do? So what was the problem? Rashi says the problem over here was that get is muksa. Also the talko get b'shabbos l'mosula. Then the din of muksa, you can't pick up the get, and you can't give right, the get to... he can't give a get to his wife. So they need a suggestion from Rava how to deal with this issue, right, that you're allowed to give it over.
What's the problem getting it in Shabbos?
But it's muksa. Rashi says it's muksa, also the tauta. Because documents, any contracts are, the Mishnah Beitzah discusses about getting things in.
Buying land that I just fell.
That is the exception. The Gemara talks about that as being an exception, but no, here, Gerushin is not a mitzvah. Gerushin is a mitzvah of human, that if you want to get divorced, that's how you get divorced, but it's not a mitzvah to get divorced. Can't make that claim. But there are any transactional document, anything that's written is up to that we don't want you to write contracts on Shabbos or write things on Shabbos. We don't allow any movement of contracts or written documents on Shabbos, so get would be included on this. Tosus over here brings, if you look at Tosus, the second Tosus on the Amud, says the positive, here's Rashi, if you should get us through the Tal to the Mosul, which we just said it's Mosul, so you can't do it. I've got the Tosefta, the Perk Mashil in Tanya, and the Tosefta says, Eim Garshim Mishavs Mishkimi Rai Kilu, the little people coming up. The Tosefta said that even though generally you're not allowed to get again on Shabbos, Mishkimi Rai, they made an exception. Right, so over here, you know, it would seem that right, it should be okay. Tosus points it out, he doesn't say our Gemara is obviously against this Tosefta by saying that they couldn't give it on the Shabbos. Right, Amaluhu, he said, give this suggestion. Zilu Amrulei, Likle Nihala Lahaduchta Diyotim Be. Right, let him give over a portion of the property where the get is sitting. Get the big gita, where the gita is saying, v'tezel ihi, v'tichud, v'tiftach. She should go into that place that he gives her, v'miyachet, and close the door to it, v'taksit, and give a chazaka. Right, because property, how's property acquired? Right, there are three ways to acquire property, keshev, shtar, and chazaka. Keshev is paying money, shtar is a document, a contract. So over here, you can't use either of those on Shabbos. The only way left to make an acquisition on Shabbos is through chazaka. How do you do chazaka on Shabbos? Is you just have to demonstrate ownership over the property. How do demonstrate ownership over the property, right? So generally in land you can say no, but there are parts. But you said he put up a fence, he locked the door, right? He broke down a piece of the fence, any small item that shows that you're the owner. So over here, she just goes into that property, closes the door, locks it, and you know, is alone and says it's my place, that'll be enough over here. If it's not, now there are parats kosher who are izu chazaka. Any small demonstration of ownership is sufficient for chazaka. The Gemara says, so, Amalei Rav Ilish, the Rava, Mashakanti Isha, Kanabal, why did he tell? Right? And he's giving over to her property. As soon as she acquires the property, what happens to that property? It reverts back to the Baal. I mean, like, how can he give over to her independent ownership if she doesn't have independent ownership? To Yitzchak. Rabbi was embarrassed. Right? And that he's right. You can't give over property to a Nesuah. The Sof Igle Milsa Darusa. In the end, it became apparent that she was an Arusa. So if she was an Arusa, then Hamarava Imamru Nesua. They said by Nesua, Mashakanti Shikanabala, Yomruba, is Arusa? Is that really true by Arusa? No, it's not true by Arusa. So Arusa can't have independent ownership. Since she can have independent ownership, that is fine over here. In the end, Rava reversed his position and says it doesn't matter about Arusa, it doesn't matter Nisua. Even if in Arusa also, Mashkanta Kanabala, Gita Bchatse Rava Imkech, for Geth and Akhatse come as one. So it doesn't matter, even though you say, quote unquote, whatever she acquires, her husband acquires. But if you say Gita Bchatse Rava Imkech, it doesn't matter. Because as soon as he gives over, it's Makne, the property to the woman, and the Geth is there in that property. If she goes there and does some sort of action, then she puts possession of the property and the get simultaneously, and that gives her the right to take possession of the property. So it works, because Gita Bakazera Bayim Kechad. Omar says, Bahamara Robo. So he says, Rabbi already said this. That was Rabbi's solution to our mission above. So what do you mean? Well, all of a sudden Rabbi came back to the solution. He had the solution already. So why is he all of a sudden, like, surprised and came up with this new solution? Gita Bakazera Bayim Kechad. He already had that solution. That is how he solved the problem in our mission. So when it says, this is where Rabbi came up with this position of Kateri Yad of Gan Kecha was this case. And that's what, when he said above about the Mishnah, that was after already this case. He came up, this finish that he came up with, came out of this case. And because it came out of this case, that's why we have his explanation of the Mishnah, but not the other way around, where he explained the Mishnah and then he figured out the case. Right now, he even told Beita, she's in her house. Amar Ula, this is a machlokas, what does it mean that it's in her house? She's in her house. So Amar Ula, Behisho Mene B'tzad Beita, U'B'tzad Chetzira. She must be present. When he throws it into the chatzar or the bayit, she must be present. Why? Because it has to be, there's a requirement that it be a chatzera mishtameret and a bayit mishtameret. You can't throw a get into a place where it's not considered secure. You can only throw it into a place that's considered secure. What is considered secure? That's when she's there, in her bayit or in a chatzer. Rabbi Yoshi Amar Kilo, he bits veria, a chatzera b'tzibori. Even if she's in Tiberia and her chatzer is in Tiberia, he bits tzibori, a chatzera b'tzibori, on the gresh, it works. So I says, doesn't it say in our Mishnah, right? It says that she has to be, right? That she's physically present there. So what are you going to do with that in our Mishnah? Talking about, not that she has to physically be there, but it has to be the equivalent of her being there. What's the equivalent of her being there? As long as it's a chatzer that is guarded or secure with her knowledge, that is sufficient to be the equivalent of her being there. So what's the difference? What's a nafka mean? What does that mean that it's secure with her knowledge? Gemara later on will show us an exception. Exception is like an eved. If she tells an eved to go watch the get, right? Don't take possession of the get, watch the get for her, that eved's not watching the get because of her, he's watching it because of himself. So that's not a chatz of mishmeret with da'ato, that's with a da'ato. So you only have it with an inanimate object, right? That is guarded with da'ato, right? But not with a human being. So that would be the distinction here of chatz of mishmeret with da'ato. What does it mean with da'ato? With da'ato means that it's only her direction that is creating the Shmira, and there's no alternative direction. That's what Rashi points out. It's over here.
A burglar alarm is okay. Okay, is that difficult to do that time?
I assume that would be enough to be that's all, because it's the alarm that's doing the work. The mokade is just making, they're in the enforcement of the alarm. The alarm's a dissuasion for people to be there. She thinks her property is guarded because the alarm's there, and somebody will show up if the alarm goes off, right? That will dissuade the burglar from being there. So, right? You're not expecting the mokade to show up and shoot the burglar, right? That's not the objective, but I don't think that the alarm company, the idea of an alarm is that it's a dissuasion for the burglar. Alright. This is what they're arguing about. The mas of a chatzer mishum yadayit rabbi. That one of them believes that the chatzer functions like an extension of her hand. And therefore, just like yada, right, means literally, yada, so too chatzer means yada, she's got to be there. The chatzar works not because of an extension of her, but agency. So agency can be done without her being present, right? The rabbis, the Gemara says, well, the kuli amar chatzar mishum yadayit, rabbi. No, everybody believes that a chatzar functions as an extension of her hand. Alright, but Mar Sabaki Yada, Uma Yadam Smucha, Afkatzerab Smucha, just like her hand is present with her, so the Khatzer must be Smucha, must be there. She must be present or near it. Alright, Bida. Ima Yoda Bitzbuka, Afkatzera Bitzbuka. Right? So the word says, right, what are you gonna suggest? Just like her hand is attached to her body, so too her chatzera is going to be attached to her. I mean, how can you make such a clear comparison between yada and chatzera? They're distinct ways of working. So compared to yada, you can compare the general principles, but you can't compare it to be literally like a physical, you know, proximity. That you can't do. Elik yada, my yada mishnemer yada. So just like her hand is mishnemer yada, chatzera mishnemer yada. Right. So a puke chatzera mishnemer excluded yada. Excluded case of a mishnemer excluded. I thought, which we pointed out before, something like an Evan. So Tosfos is also, just a small post point over here, the reason that we need her to stand here is only because it's a chov for La. Because that's why we need it. But if it was a Metzia, her chatzar could take possession of her Metzia, even everybody would agree that if Metzia came into her possession, she would acquire it even if she's not standing there, because that's a chos La. Only when it's a chov La do we say that she must be in proximate to the area to know that she's receiving or something's being acquired on her behalf. But not when it's a chos La. Right, and then the other thing, so we have to understand is the machlokas here is everybody agrees that chatzar is working mishum yada. The question is, how literally do you take it to mean like yada? Does it mean yada, meaning in principle it's like our hand? I mean, just like a hand can acquire, a chatzar is acquired. But just like our hand is something that generally can take possession is, with her knowledge, is a area we consider it to be secure. So too, we have a chatzar. Or do we say much more literally? Just like our hand is, right, is physically proximate to her, so too, the property, she must be physically proximate to the property. That's my folks over here. Now, how Gabra, the Zarkala Gita of the Bitsu, threw a get to his wife, Abakaima Bukhatser. She was standing in a chatzer. Azal Gita Nafo Bukhiskla. But instead of falling in the chatzer, it fell onto this piece of wood. So now Amar Rav Yosef, when it fell into this piece of wood, Chazinin, Iyavia Arba Amot, Al Arba Amot, it's 4x4, Polyclay Rishuto Lanafshe, it's an independent area. To be low, Chad Rishutahi. If it's not, it's considered one entity. So Mayas Kinan, what's this whole case, and what's the stack of Rav Yosef? Ilayim Chatzar Didol, if we're talking about it's her Chatzar, Iyavia Dalad Amos, my Havi. Why should it matter that there's something Dalad Amos with Dalad Amos inside of her property? It's her property. I mean, that even if you have another distinct area in your property, it's still her property, so the wood should be your property, just like her husband. Hello, Chatzar Didol. It's his Chatzar. It's his Chatzar. If you love me, Arba Amos, my Havi. If it's his Chatzar, even if it's not four Amos, so four Amos, and it's one Rishus, why does that help you? Because then it is her Chatzar for sure. So what's the question? Tzricha, the Ushla Makom. He lent her a place. Right? The husband lent her a place so that she could acquire the get in the chatzar. So when it goes into, if the get goes into the chatzar that he lent her, then that is considered a good get because it went into the place that he gave her to have ownership over. But if someone lent her, I guess I have to do the promise, but someone lent her property in order to acquire it and then it lands on a distinct area within the chatzar, that is not lent to her. Because when you lent something in, when someone lent it, it lends exactly what he says he's going to lend, not another rishus, not another entity. So, Amran Elayke Boaz Sara. That is only true if it wasn't 10 high. Boaz Sara, Pagav Dolavi Arba Amot, right? But if it's 10 high, right? But it's not Arba Amot, right? I'm saying, if it is 10 high, even though it's not Arba Amot, Amran Elayke the late lay, right? Over there, it doesn't have Shem Levi, a distinct name to it, a defined name. Obviously, Shem Levi, Apagav the Lok Boasara, even though it's not higher than 10, Apagav the Lavi Arbamos, it will still be considered a distinct place. So, what is the definition of a distinct makom? So, here are the three things that make it into a distinct makom. One is Shem Levi, which is a nickname, and that it has a distinct name to itself. If this piece of wood or this area is, right, somewhere, they don't consider it as part of the Chatzar because it's got its name to itself. If its own name, then it's clearly not part of that property, or it's not this part of that that chatzer or that rishus. Number two is if it's arba amot, al arba amot, obviously it has to be above three tefachim, but arba amot al amot is also considered a distinct area. And number three is what? What's a distinct area? A distinct area is something that is 10 tefachim high, even though it's what? It's not 4 amot by 4 amot. Right, so now Tosos asks the question, just a general question over here by Shabbos, what is the status of such an area? You have an area that is 4 amot by 4 amot, but not, right, not 10 tefachim high, or you have a place that's 10 tefachim high, but not 4 by 4, it's called a karmelit. Right, that is the definition of a... No, it has Rishus Yachid. 4 by 4 over 10 would be Rishus Yachid. Missing any one of those makes it into a karmelit. Or Malkum Ptur is something over 10 tefachim and Rishus Rabbim. It's an area that's less than 4 by 4 and less than 10 tefachim. Meaning that if you're missing both of them, then it would be a Malkum Ptur. Here it's a karmelit. So it also says a karmelit is not a separate Rishus. Meaning that why do you call it a karmelit? Right, Begabe Shabbos is a dindurabonon that up to that it's a Rishus Yachid. But that, there, it's not a separate Rishus. I mean, a Torah, that's not considered a different area. So how come over here we're considering it a separate area? So he says you have to mechalik between karmelit gomor, the karmelit of a taltel. That's an interesting thing. So it says that the difference between a full fledged karmelit and a karmelit that can be moved around. Right? Karmelit of a taltel is just it's a karmelit because it has the physical properties of a karmelit, but it's not really a distinct rishus. And therefore, in the Gemara Shabbos, where we say it's a totally distinct rishus, and that it's not considered all right to be one rishus, right? That would only say my karmelit is gemur, but my karmelit of a taltel that will say is a karmelit that got me dinei Shabbos, but it doesn't have a din of a separate rishus when it comes to dinei mamonos, right? Because that won't be. So even though Shabbos is a more expansive view of what a karmelit is, the dinei mamonos, it'll be narrower, it'll be only a karmelis gomor, but not a karmelis hamitalka. Okay, we'll stop over here.